So today, this is really, really fun because I'm not sure. I'm not sure we can cover anything more contentious in the world's eyes in some ways and more exciting for ourselves than today. Now let's see if this marker works. It does. So we're talking about husbands and wives. We're talking about parents and children. And we're talking about masters and slaves. So there's lots of talking to be done today. And I think it's interesting and useful, and the Bible talks a fair amount about these kind of things. And so we're going to dig. I'm going to start, and we'll talk to God in a word, and then we'll get going. So let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we love you. You are awesome and amazing. We thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for what you've shown us of yourself. Thank you for the life that you lived, Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. Thank you for the modeling that you did with regard to what it looks like to submit, Lord. I pray that we would learn from you what submission looks like, God. I pray that we would use these things in our lives to show the world the love that you have for us and the love that we have for you. We love you. I pray these things in your holy son's name. Amen. So I'm going to write some things on the board, and I want you guys to think about them before you get into some small groups, and we'll read together. But I'm going to write up a little sentence here, and I want you guys to just think about it, and we'll talk about what it means. Everyone submits. Yes. While you're thinking about that, if you don't have a handout from last week, my wife stole the pile from the podium up here, and she can pass them out to you. Thanks, Aaron.
Anyone else? In that line where you wrote masters/slaves. Can we view that as like employer and employee?
No. We will. We will absolutely talk about it like that, and we'll talk about why. And I was going to wait to hand out handouts, and Aaron was being very, very proactive.
It's because someone asked.
I know, but I wasn't going to give any until later. I was going to have them hold them, hold their thoughts in abeyance until we...
You're smiling
at her.
Did
you
hand them out last week?
I did hand them out last week, but I was assuming people forgot about them and didn't bring them back. Okay, so let's rewind. Welcome to class. Aaron has passed out handouts for you. Because you have half of them, I'm going to hand out the other half right now. Thank you, Aaron, for that half. All right, on this half. So if you're in podcast land, we wrote up on the board, everyone submits. And I'm asking us all to think about that sentence and what that means to you, to us, while the handouts are coming back. You hopefully have last week, which was the end of 5, and now Aaron is passing out the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6. Please don't read ahead, because that would be cheating. And God's word says you shouldn't cheat. I'm positive. So now that you've had time to think about it, what do you think about that statement? Everyone submits. You agree with that? At some point, everyone has submitted, for sure, and everyone submits now as well. So what are some examples of ways that we all submit?
Well, yesterday as I was talking to our kids, son and daughter-in-law, they're reading a book together about, I don't know what it's called in English, but it's Shepherding Your Child's Heart or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they said, what did you just read? And they said, we learned that as we teach Alicia to obey us, we also teach her that we are in obedience to God, and it's under that obedience that she obeys us.
Yeah.
So they are having to submit also, and they have to be careful how they make her submit, because they're also under submission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're
right.
all under, right? But that
yeah.
was just a thought that came to my mind when you say everyone submits, even parents submit to
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father.
Yep, so there's this picture of kids who, I think of all the pictures that we have, kids have the least to say in it, frankly, right? I mean, my kids are in my house and I have certain rules that are for the benefit of the kids and for the benefit of the family as a whole. And there's not a whole lot that my kids can do one way or the other, right? I'm dad, mom is mom, and they need food, they need shelter, they need to get to school and whatever. And so, there's this picture of submission, and we teach our kids what that looks like, but they have the least say in it, I think, overall, of all these pictures that we have. I mean, you could argue that when we talk about slaves and masters, there's not a whole lot there that, you know, the slave could do with regard to the master, right? And we'll talk about what slavery in this time period looked like. It's interesting and not what we usually think about, but we'll talk about that. There's another picture we're talking about with regard to parents teaching their children, right, and kids submitting to their parents, that the parents also are modeling for their kids what submission looks like and what obedience looks like. And I think sometimes society and even we have a negative idea of what obedience is, right? Obedience isn't a bad thing. Good. Some more thoughts? Yeah.
So you could think of it as we submit to the laws.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, so we live in America, and I was thinking about this because tax day came and went, and I wasn't thinking about my taxes per se because those were done a while ago and had a very small return, so I didn't really think about, I didn't have a very small refund, so I wasn't really thinking about taxes too much. But I was thinking on the way home how people complain all the time about taxes, right? I mean, it's so irritating and obnoxious and whatever else. And yet I'm riding in a nice paved road. I have a safe country I live in. I mean, there are all kinds of things that benefit me, right? And you know, as a part of that, I submit myself voluntarily, right, to the authority of the United States and the local government and the federal government, whatever else. So I submit to them in ways. And that submission works out well, hopefully, because it allows us to live in a certain way collectively as a group, and we need that. Yeah. What else? So kids do, parents do, is they submit in God and then, you know, work with their kids. We submit to the greater powers that are. Yeah.
We submit to each other.
Yeah.
To brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
I think about relationships I have where we hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And it's the mutual respect and submitting to each other in God's love.
Okay, so let's move forward here. So submission is blank. All right, so we have lots of things we could think about with regard to what submission is. So if you had to define it, we just said we all submit. How would you define what submission is? It's a big idea. Think about it for a second. If you could succinctly put it into a few words, because I'd like to do that, and I think we should do that. It doesn't need to be complicated. I don't think it is complicated, actually, at all.
One word or a few words?
A few words is fine.
Acceptance.
Pete? Okay, so acceptance. I'll get to you in a second, Pete. So acceptance, okay.
Putting others first.
Okay, Pete?
It's voluntarily giving in to somebody else's will. What they want rather than what you want.
Mm. Okay. Yes.
It's mutual when it's effective.
Mutual when it's effective. I'm going to push you on that a little bit.
I retract my statement.
No. No, it's good. I like that, and I think what you mean by effective is when it works best.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does it have to be both ways?
It doesn't have to be, but I feel like it should be.
You want it to be.
I want it
right?
to be.
I want Will it be always?
No.
So we're gonna come. This is really good. So we'll come back to this.
What are we talking about both ways?
So if one person is submitting to someone else, it would be great if there's a mutual submission that happens. So for example, Paul talks in the end portion of chapter 5 about how as a body of Christ, we mutually submit to the members of the body, right? So it's a both ways kind of thing. When you look at how Paul talks about this, actually, with regard to husbands and wives and parents and children and slaves and master, he addresses both parties always. So there's something interesting about that, right? That being said, I think what you're getting at, especially, I think the model that Paul gives for sure is the church first. So he gives that model first, absolutely. And within that model that he gives, then the other things follow, like husband and wife and children and parents and slaves and masters, those kind of things. That being said, within the body of Christ, right? And we read this last week, remember? In the body of Christ, we're submitting mutually, right? So I submit to you, you submit to me. And we talk about what that looked like, and we'll talk about that again. This is really, really a big deal because that's the framework for this all.
As long as we remember, it's also a structured,
absolutely
mutual.
Yep. So we're going to get to what that looks like, right? So we'll get there for sure. What I want to bring up here, and what I wasn't trying to put you on the spot.
Yes, you were.
Okay. So I want to push a little bit because what I want to make sure we see is that even if it's one-sided, God still calls us to submit, right? So I'm responsible for me only, ever. Now, I say that sort of in scare quotes, right? Like, I'm responsible for me. Now, in the positions and roles and, you know, in my family, you know, God gives me other responsibilities. And so my wife is my responsibility. My kids are my responsibility. The church here is my responsibility actually as well, right? But the only person I can absolutely affect, and they can have some effect 100% is myself, right? I mean, so when God talks about submission, the only person I can directly impact 100% totally wholly is me, right? Is that fair? And so regardless of what's happening, if I'm submitting to Jack in the body and Jack's not submitting back to me, that him not submitting back to me is irrelevant with regard to what I do. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, I think you're right. It works the best and it's ideal, especially in the church setting when we're submitting mutually. But even in other relationships, I can only 100% control me. And regardless of when I'm at work, so for example, if we look at slaves and masters and we look at that and we best apply that to our lives now, I think the employer-employee relationship is probably the best way to look at that now for us to use the text. I can tell you, I've had bosses I've worked for who were the worst ever. I've had bosses who were so bad that individuals were forced to leave the work environment. I've had bosses so bad that the boss was eventually asked to leave. And I can tell you what that felt like and what that looked like. Even in that setting, I'm still called to submit to that individual. Even if I don't like them, or I don't like what's happening, or I think I can do better, right? Okay, so, I mean, it's great when it works both ways, but in the end, I'm responsible for me, and so I still have to submit. So let's get back here. So submission is acceptance, others first, voluntarily giving, right, to others, mutual, right, probably best when it's working the way it should be, full circle. What else? How would you... I want to get a little list here that I want to condense it so we all agree on one thing. Like we can just put it in one sort of phrase.
The structure could be what Paul has described as chain of command.
So I think what we're getting into, and I don't want to do this, and it's not you're wrong. I mean, I think you're thinking about this because there's a leader sometimes. I get that. I don't think I want to think about the pragmatics of how this looks in all possible ways, but just in general, if you could express to someone, this is what submission is. Submission is this. I guess I'm trying to make us work a little bit so we have a working definition that we can put in the back of our minds always forever, so help us all things. Yeah.
So I think in some cases it's subjecting yourself to discipline because, you know, Paul talks about 1 Corinthians, you know, back when churches actually had church discipline tactic. I mean, probably a lot of us in the room are old enough to remember when churches actually used to administer discipline. Most don't anymore. But there was an elder board who would meet, and I've seen people thrown out of churches and taken responsibilities away because of their behavior, and I don't see that as much anymore. But there is a structure in 1 Corinthians for church discipline.
Mm-hmm. So
we don't really employ anymore.
Yep. So what you're talking about, what Pete's talking about, we're looking sort of downstream slightly at structure, and I get that, and we'll definitely talk about that. This is a big deal. It's valuable. I think I'm going to have you think about this, and I'm going to give you a model for what submission really, really looks like. All right? So our perfect model of submission is available to us, and it's before time and space and matter and energy and anything. And that perfect model is God. Right? So before there was anything that we see, materially speaking, God gives us the perfect model of what submission is. Right, because we describe God as what? One essence, one being, one entity, but what else? Three persons within that, right? So there's the Father. And then proceeding from the Father is the Son. And proceeding from the Father and the Son is the Spirit, right? And so we have, collectively, the three persons of the Godhead, but it's one God, one entity, one substance, right? And I think to get back to this structure idea here, there are specific roles within the Godhead. Is that fair? Right? So there are specific roles here, and there are certain specific responsibilities. So not to beat this point, but when we think of God the Father in God's Word, how would we define, and again in a succinct way, sort of what the roles within the Godhead the Father are? This is interesting, right? So what are some of the roles of God the Father within the Godhead?
Planner?
Planner, sure.
Or like the
sure.
Mm-hmm. Big idea?
Yeah, the idea guy, sure. I like that. I'm going to say the master planner. How's that?
The word that comes to mind is authority.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Said mm-hmm. that yet, but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a key part of submission.
Sure, absolutely.
Authority.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
Sovereign.
Mm-hmm. They all are,
yeah.
But yes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Right, so that's a really good point, James. So we could talk about all the attributes of God, right? And the Father, the Son, and the Spirit actually have all the attributes of God the Father. That being said, within that, they have specific roles and responsibilities, right? So they're all sovereign. And the Father as the master mind, right? Planner. I think of God the Father as initiating acts. So, why are we here? We're here to have a relationship with God, right? And that's why we're here. That's why God made us. There has to be an initiation, a volitional component, right, of the master plan, right, that is. So I think of God the Father as the architect. Is that fair? Okay. How about the Son? We could talk about this all day, right? But as we keep going forward, how about the Son? What did he do? In the very beginning.
Creator.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's the one who made all of this, right? He made all of this.
As God the Son. Spirit.
What's that?
As did the
Spirit. As did the Spirit. Yeah, this picture of the Son who enacts this in John and the Spirit who's over all, right, in the very beginning, hovering. They're all involved, right? But there's specific roles within that. So the Creator, the Sustainer. What else?
Perfect sacrifice.
Yeah. So via the incarnation, the sacrifice that we have. Mm-hmm. So God entering into this, right? Spirit?
There's,
yeah.
There's got to be a better word for this, but if God is the master planner, it's like the Son is the one who executed on the plan.
Mm-hmm. Builder?
Yeah, builder.
Mm-hmm. Spirit.
David, the situation that I was thinking of with the structure was when the Roman centurion came to Jesus and somebody needed to be healed, his son or whatever. And in talking to him, he said, well, I'm in command, and I have people below me, and when I tell them to do something, they go and do it, and I tell them to go, they go, and mm-hmm. I tell them to come, they come. And Jesus made a comment about his faith, and I think a lot of it was just the fact that he understood how the structure worked,
mm-hmm.
that the creation was under Jesus' authority, and that Jesus was hooked into a system.
Yeah.
Where there were other people within the Godhead that all had a role, and when something needed to be done, they did it.
Yeah.
And of course, he had the efficiency of the Roman military that worked that way very efficiently.
Right.
But Jesus made that obvious. He could see what he was thinking about.
Yeah.
So that maybe that's an example of how the structure works.
Yes. Yeah. And there's definitely a structure. There's definitely an organization. There's definitely a model for what leadership looks like. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
In redemption, the Son receives the Spirit without measure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Empowerment.
Yeah.
For all that's to be done.
Yeah. So Spirit's role is?
Empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Power. Yeah. Absolutely. So Christ is the mediator, right, for us to the Father. The Spirit has a mediatory role as well, because we have direct access to God through the Spirit, right? So the Son did something with regard to atonement, us being able to be in our relationship with God the Father, and the Spirit now, in the immediacy of where we are in time and space, allows us to have relationship with God the Father and the Son and the Spirit, right? Once he lives in us. So I'm going to put mediation here. Son has a mediatory role as well, right? What else? I talked about the proceeding, right? So the pastors in the room can think about that. But we talk about the Son proceeding from the Father and the Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. You guys ever heard that before? Anybody? Sometime? At some place? I don't have time to get into that in a huge way now. But there's this idea, I think, within that of doing the will of as well. So the Son does the will of the Father, right? And then via the work of the Son, the Spirit, right, does the will of the Father and the Son. Is that fair? I mean, just big idea stuff, okay? Is that fair? Within this perfect unity, right? So this is the triunity. I like that better than Trinity. So within the triunity, right, we have this oneness and a submission that occurs, right? And the submission that occurs within this structure, an organizational model, that allows things to be affected in the proper best way. going back to what submission is, if we see this, right, and we think about what we learned already from Paul in the end of 5 and what mutual submission in the church looks like. So let's open up God's word. If you could look at Ephesians chapter 5. Open up with me. Ephesians chapter 5. verse 21, you guys all there? It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right, so we have this picture of mutual submission. Remember, the first part of Ephesians is the doctrine, and the last part of Ephesians is the pragmatic portion, right? Practically, how do we live then? What does it look like? And we have right here at the end of 5 an example of what this perfect practice is, and that's submitting mutually. And based on your list, and based on what we see here, I want you guys to do this and not me to give you the phrase. How would you define what submission really is then? So think of it in your mind, and then tell the person next to you, okay? I'm going to make you all do this, because I'm that kind of a mean person. So think about what submission really is. If you could put it in just one sentence. Turn to the person next to you, because you like them. I told you if you didn't like them to move, so now you have to do it. Yeah, tell them right now. Tell them right now what submission really looks like. I see some of you not talking anymore, so I guess you figured it all out, right? You're good? You've talked to the person next to you? All right, so let's get back together now. Give me what you all collectively now think. I'm just kind of curious. I'm just going to go around the room, so I'll just move through. Jack, you want to tell us what you guys sort of...
Keynote was the fear of Christ, so the reverential awe of
reverence
Christ.
To Christ.
Mm-hmm. Reverential awe of Christ causes us then to submit to his desires in reference to each other.
Yeah. Why do we revere him? What's the awe about?
Because of that circle on the left that you drew.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's holy, he's awesome, he's amazing, he's done so much for us, he's God.
The nature of
all the
work,
things that come in,
the
yeah.
The nature of the work that he's
served. Yep, absolutely. The nature of the work. I like that. Within that context, right, this submitting mutually, then, would you say is to give to others? To put someone else ahead?
To give to others what Christ desires.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. So there's the to give component here, right?
What Christ desires.
Yep, yeah. Yes. Okay. I'm just going to keep, you don't have to say, but as I move my eyes backwards in the room and they fall upon you, if you, I'm like staring now, if you feel like sharing.
Avert your eyes, avert your eyes.
Anybody?
In worship. Mm-hmm.
So the fear of God is not complicated, but not the idea of fear that we have, I don't think, necessarily. Right? Like, our idea of fear is something bad could happen. Right? I mean, when we talk about reverence and fear of God, or even when, if you read it forward in Ephesians 6, like, it's not the same kind of fear. Right? Like that. I think it's more like Jack was talking about, like the amazing awesomeness of who he is. Right. That's right. Because God is the only one who's awesome. Right? Back row? Anybody? I see eyes downcast. Yeah?
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. We defer to Jack Geddes. Okay. This side? What do you think, Steve, Aaron? You guys in the front?
And I've been listening to
and
this.
Scott was in the...
Well, we didn't really come up with a definition. We were discussing...
Is this hard?
Yeah, well, we were discussing whether there were different forms of submission, but depending on the level of... Like,
it can look
distinctly,
and it has to, because the way that God the Son submits to God the Father is not how I submit to you all in the church.
It has to be within a structure.
Definitely.
That God has designed. Blind submission, submitting out of context doesn't work.
Right.
It's within a structure.
Yep.
You know, you children to their parents.
So I still want to get to what this is, though. Like, so we're talking about structure, we're talking about authority, we're talking about leadership, we're talking about in the context of Christ. I get that, but I still want to get to a one-liner. You guys haven't given me yet a one-liner that you all like. Back row? No, I mean, I'm not yelling. It sounds like I'm yelling, right? Man.
It
will
sound that way.
It's acceptance of authority.
Okay, acceptance of authority.
How many times did Jesus say, "Not my will"? But my father's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He submitted to his father's will because. Yeah. But didn't God the Father say all authority on heaven and earth has been given?
He gives to.
Or he gives to the Son.
Yeah, and that's in a specific context and way.
But it's
well.
An example.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we have this idea of authority, and with God, it's in the perfect context of what love looks like. Agape love is unconditional love, right? Jack and Jane, you want to? You're shaking your head no? You did not want. All right, so I was hoping we'd come up with a group, a definition that you all love. I think you're not going to follow my game here, which is fine. I really look at this, the idea of submission as voluntarily... Voluntarily seeking the needs of someone else.
Putting others first.
Yeah.
Giving up self.
Yeah. It's this voluntary giving up of what I may want or desire or whatever else for someone else. For their good, because of the position of authority they're in, for whatever reason, right? There are lots of things that go into that. But it's basically the putting someone else's needs ahead of my own.
But that's the key, what she said, though. You have to deny yourself to be able to subject
Absolutely. Yourself to absolutely. I mean, and then there's, like, then submission looks different in different specific contexts. We have to remember that. I mean, submission isn't all the same, depending on what context you're in. But underneath it all is this core. And I think beneath it, this model of perfect unity and love within the Godhead shows us what that looks like even in different unique contexts, okay? So we have this picture of love, of unity, and within this, because there's a specific plan and architecture here, the Son willingly submits to the Father because something has to happen for the ultimate plan, for the good of God and for the good of us with regard to our relationship to God. And so something selfless has to happen. The Son has to do something selfless within this greater picture of his relationship to the Father and the Spirit and humanity, right? So think of this. Christ, so I'll ask this, does Christ submit to us?
In dying for us, he gave up himself.
Right, he put us first.
What do you think?
Although it's not, well...
I'm asking, and I'm not. I just want. I want you to think.
What your definition? Did you hear what this was? Dorothy had a comment. Did you hear her comment?
Which was what?
He gave up himself for us.
Yeah.
Giving up self, selflessness. Maybe the submission is selflessness. Maybe that's one word that sums it all.
Yeah. So here's the thing: submission isn't negative. We have this picture that submitting is a bad thing, or like beneath us somehow, right? Like, it's this negative that, like, this possibly couldn't happen. I mean, Christ submits to God the Father. Did Christ submit to his mom and dad on earth? Yes, absolutely, positively. Right? I mean, He absolutely did. In this idea of selflessness, did Christ submit to the church? Yes, he did. Right? When thinking about it like that. All right? So I want us to be on the same page with regard to what we're talking about with regard to what submission is. Not a negative thing. Perfectly modeled by God in the Godhead. Right?
You don't want to say he submitted to the church, though. I would think you'd want to say he submitted to the will of the Father for the benefit of the church.
Yes.
It wasn't the church's will to be saved. That Christ and the Father's will came to save us.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. And I agree with that totally. I mean, he's submitting to God the Father, right? And it's because of this love relationship. But what's the love relationship that the Son has for us? Yeah, he loves us. And there are certain things that he does for us. It's not the same architecture with regard to leadership that we talk about with submission, right? But with regard to the generic thinking of what submission is, right? Doing something to give up for someone else that giving up was for us. Is that fair? Right? So this is, what I'm trying to do is, and I said this before, I'm not trying to get at the specific structure of leadership and obedience, right? I'm not at the hierarchy part here. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? That's not where I'm at. What I'm at is submission and the big idea, like what submission looks like as a word.
I'm still confused. Maybe I think I know where you're going. I'm not sure.
Yep.
Playing between two different ideas.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's why it's hard.
Do you think parents submit to their children?
Do parents submit to their children? Yes and no. So with regard to how Paul is going to talk about it in chapter 6, no. With regard to doing selfless things from a authority architecture standpoint, no. But from submission, what submission looks like as a term and as a concept, yes. Yes. Okay? So I'm really trying, that's why I've tried to do this in podcast land. Please bear with me. What I've tried to do is separate out the leadership idea, right, and that context from this bigger picture of what submission really is. Then we take submission and we use it in various contexts, I think. I just think it's important to think about submission as to give up for the other. And Christ did that in an architectural way to God the Father. He did it because of the love they have together collectively. And then as a church and as individuals, he gave up something for us, right? Not in an architectural leadership way of authority, but just as a personal way. So Christ as a person, God the Father as a person, God the Spirit as a person, right? There's something in a personal way, okay? Then, once we have that, I think, as our big idea, then we move forward and say, okay, what specific context does then Paul give, and what relational pictures do we have, right? So, most important thing, the greatest command that God gives is what? How do we summarize all the Old Testament law?
Love the Lord your God.
Matthew 22, right? First, you love the God, right? You love the God. You love God. And the second thing is what? You love others, right? What's the point of all of that? Relationship, right? There's a relational component always. And so all the things we're talking about have to do with relationships in particular. So we have this model of relationship of God, right? And what submission looks like to give up for others. Then we have specific context that we put that into. And over all of this is this idea that everything is relational. We love God, we love those around us. Right? Paul, in end of chapter 5 and beginning of chapter 6, says, I've already talked to you for the first half of this letter about what right doctrine is, right? How we know God rightly. Now I'm talking about what that looks like. And we have to, as relational beings, be able to show what proper relationship looks like to the world. Because the world sees what relationship looks like between us and God by our relationship with Him. They see what perfect relationship looks like with regard to the church and God, with regard to the husband and wife relationship. And so I think the husband and wife, the children, the parent, and the slave and the master, those are all specific relational entities. And when you look at what slavery was like most often in this time period, the slave was essentially a member of the family. So something like 1/4 to 1/2 of all Romans in this time period were actually slaves. Almost half. That's a big number, actually. And so the relationship was such, and the intimacy was such that it was essentially like a member of the household. So Paul talks about husband and wife, children and parents, slave and master. I think that's why he does that.
But that's right? A key component, right? Relationship?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm not going to submit to your boss. And,
right.
You know, I'm not going to submit to Jesus if I don't have a relationship.
That's right. Yeah, that's the key. And the reason that we are willing to submit, hopefully, is because of that relationship, right? Now, I get we could really put flesh on these bones and we need to, but the perfect relationship is God and what that looks like. And then as a church to Christ, how do we submit to Christ and why? Well, because of the unconditional love that he showed us, right? And that's why. I mean, he selflessly gave, right, for us. And it's this concept, right? So this idea. Then within that, let's move forward in the context then.
Hey,
yes, Steve.
I see exactly what you're saying. I think the only thing I'm nervous of is the word submit, because I was just, as we were talking, it's interesting that Paul never uses the word submit for the opposites, like husbands submitting their wives or, you know, parents submitting their children. He never uses that word. I understand what you're saying. Wouldn't one other alternative way of looking at it is exactly everything you're saying, just switching the word, that the greater context that surrounds everything, Father, Son, Trinity, all of us, is love.
Yes.
We give of ourselves to others.
Yes.
Then you narrow that down to submission, and submission only works one way to another, given what context you're in.
Sometimes, although the church submits mutually.
Yeah.
I mean, he says that.
Yeah, but I think you could interpret submitting to one another, meaning given the roles that you're within, you submit in those roles, because he goes out to spell those out. Wives, your husbands, children, your...
He does, but he starts with church, right? I mean, so it's first church, then it's husbands and wives, then it's children, then it's slaves, right? So we submit to one another, and that follows, right?
The church submits to Christ, but not the other way around.
We need to speak for the murmuring crowd back here.
Yeah.
So this chapter is full of the word submit, so what are you talking about? Submit, submit, submit. It's all in this chapter. So what are you saying? Paul never used the word submit.
He never says, I'm not going to give him the contentious one. He never says, parents, submit to your children.
Right.
Never.
Okay. So he doesn't.
He never says, master, submit to your children.
So it's semantics, no. Because there's submission that is a result of servanthood. Like you're serving.
Yeah.
And because you're serving someone.
Yes.
The outcome is submission. But it's not necessarily a command. Where there is, he's referring to the command, submit. Which leads to the structure of leadership.
Yeah. So you guys are awesome. It's really good. And I think this is why I tried really hard, and I totally failed. I tried really hard to, and I love the way you said that, actually. The servanthood is really important, because did Christ serve us?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Right? I mean, so if you're thinking about it, and so I get why this is complicated, because Christ served us, right? But I don't have any authority or any mandate for Christ to obey me.
Right.
Because there's something unique here. So I want to get this across. So this is, I want to make sure we're all on the same page. So please help me out. This is good. If there are thoughts you have that can help this become less opaque to the group, I'd love to hear them. Because I think it's really important to have this servant submission idea that we have, that we see in the Godhead, that we see with regard to God and us, but then we need to give it specific context and then put it into this leadership structure where it's different. Like, my kids don't obey me. Like, I don't obey my kids.
The example of parents and children is exactly this, because parents, a couple gets married, and once they have children, they completely change their lives because of those children, but they do it willingly.
Yeah.
So because they want to serve, they're going to submit
Right.
their life structure for the betterment of those children, but it's not a command.
Yeah. So will I, because it's not, because the specific component of the service and submission there isn't the leadership part, right? So Do I submit to my kids? Yeah, actually I do. I serve them. I love them. Do I obey my kids? No, I don't. Right? I mean, there's something specific that needs to happen in this context of relationship and love and submission that's mutual.
You're not giving up your authority.
Right, but it's still there still has to be an authority component. And the reason I'm making such a big deal about this is because we have to get this down before we talk about husbands and wives, children and parents, and slaves and masters. I think it's really important. Okay? So, that being said, before we move on, does anyone want to feed in here? But I don't want this to be confusing, right? So far, are we okay? Everybody okay? I've got three. I've got like four hands, so we'll go one, two, three, four. No, this is good. Yeah.
So, well, I'm just kind of going back to something you said earlier. This is where I'm struggling. So you had mentioned, two things. I think we talked about doing this in relationships, and then you said, why are you willing to submit because of the relationship? But really, it's like the very first two things you said, love your God, love others as yourself. The reason I'm willing to submit is because of obedience to God the Father and wanting to do his will. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
And so everything else just kind of trickles down from that, because of that mutual thing. Mm-hmm. If you say it's because of the relationship, well, I submit in relationships that it's not deserving. You know, if I was doing it based on the relationship, then it's a judgment. But no, it's God, because God is right and God is sovereign and God knows. Do you know what I'm trying to do?
Yeah, I do. Yep. And I think I would, if you allow me to piggyback on that, I think I would say also, based on what you're saying, that the relationship with God is the most important thing. It's the bedrock. And then, because of that, and because what relationship should look like, this is what I also want for this relationship that's horizontal here, with spouse, with child, with boss. Now, it may be more one-sided there because I may not like my boss. I may not want to do what the boss says. But perfect relationship, ideally, would be such that the boss is respecting and honoring me, and I'm respecting and honoring her, right? Or him. Is that fair? Mm-hmm. I think we need to care as much about our relationship with God, and I think we need to care as much about our relationship with people as we do with God, right? Our priority is God when in that relationship. But I still need to have an honor and respect and whatever else for all relationships, regardless of what they are, all of them, right? And so I actually want that. I want it to be both ways. Hand in the back, Pete, were you?
I taught a class for a long time that was based on the Titanic, and it sort of grew out of the 97 movie and a lot of the interest that kids had in the movie and the whole situation. And the things that come out of it are really kind of amazing because, of course, it put people in a very stressful situation. So when you were talking about parents and children, I thought about the scene where the husband comes into his cabin and says, "Captain has said that everybody should go up on deck and get their life jackets on and everything." And the wife says, "Oh, it's cold out, and I don't think we... shouldn't we stay here?" "No, the captain knows what to do, and this is what he's asked us to do." And then eventually, of course, it comes to the point where the wife and his two daughters are going to get in the lifeboat, and he's going to stay on the ship. And he keeps telling them, you've got to go ahead and do this. This is the procedure and so forth, and everything's going to be okay. And he watches his wife and his two little daughters as the boat goes down. And, I'll see you later. And he knows, he's already talked to somebody, and he knows there's not enough spots in the lifeboat, and the women and children are going to be saved, and the guys, for the most part, are going to die. And it's kind of a dramatic picture of asking his family to obey him as he's been asked to obey the captain, but he is sacrificing himself in this process. And, of course, people that didn't have families... eventually, it's every man for himself, and, it's find a spot in a lifeboat, beat somebody off the overturned lifeboat, because it might capsize. And their attitude is completely different from the people who had families.
So that actually will bring us into something else, and it's the second part of this, what submission looks like. And it's that there has to be an authority structure as well. There has to be leadership.
Because it works different.
Well, there needs to be leadership. We need to know what that looks like, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the old adage, like, too many cooks in the kitchen, right? I mean, like, to be practical and effective, it has to look a certain way. And so you need leaders and you need authority. You need obedience. And that's fair. Jane, were you going to?
Just as we're talking, I'm writing down, submitting would be putting myself under motivated by love and trust.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so the core of this always, the motivation is this agape, unconditional love. It definitely absolutely is. I mean, it has to be, I think. Steve?
No, I was just going to clarify. I agreed with everything you said in principle. I'm just starting with a word thing.
Yeah. No, no, okay.
The whole thing is
so,
submission.
Right.
I agree with that. We
so, all, one, you guys don't have to agree with me. That's okay. It's totally cool. Okay? One. Two, I don't want it to be a semantic thing. I really don't want that. Because there's a core I'm trying to get at with regard to selflessness. And then put what that looks like into context. That's what I'm trying to get at. So if the word submit bothers you because you can't see this concept, fine. Pick a different word. The word, I don't think it matters at all, actually. I mean, what matters is we get the big idea concept. So if this makes sense, good. So now let's move forward in 6 minutes talking about husbands and wives.
We still haven't filled in the submission is. You must have a sentence in mind, right?
Well, I don't want to. I do have a sentence in mind. I was saying to me it's this selflessness where you give up your desires, your whatever, for the good of someone else. That's what submission is at its core to me. Then I put that into different varying contexts. That would be mine.
Because of the cluttered ideas of our society, yeah. I want to say godly or biblical submission is.
Yeah, right.
To try to narrow this down.
Definitely.
Our concern is,
yeah,
what did God's word say?
Yeah.
And how can we understand it better?
Yeah. And so if you look, it's a really good point, Jack. If you look at my handout, for example, and I hope you guys write about this week, if you look at chapter 5, the very end, I love this. So I was reading Piper and Swindoll and lots of others over this because I don't feel like I'm an expert in particular on submission in marriage or anything in life in general, actually. That's not true. I think some things I'm maybe becoming an expert on because I have to be and I get paid to do it at the U of M. That being said, here, if you look at this, I love what Piper does. As he's talking about this, I have in here, and you can look on page 3, really good quotes. I love what Swindoll said. I love what Piper said on what submission looks like between husband and wife. Okay, so Piper and Swindoll are not God. They're not apostles. They're not whatever else. But what they said resonated with me. Flip to the very last page. I love how Piper said, this is what submission is not with regard to husband and wives. All right? This is really important. Like Jack was saying, we have this idea in our culture of what submission is. All right? And it typically, I think our idea of what submission is you obey. That's what we think as submission is. Now, can obedience be a part of submission? Yes. Is submission obedience? No, it's not. It's this right here that we just talked about, I think. Right? And you cannot agree with me. It's fine. Like, I want us to come to an idea of what the Bible says submission is. Right? And so please, if you have thoughts to help focus us, that's great. I want to hear them. We all need that. This is why we're meeting like this and studying like this. This isn't me talking at you. Okay? Is that okay? All right, so let's read, please, Ephesians 5. Let's just read this section out loud, 22 through 33. And I said it's going to be like a nice small group day, right? Why do you? Because I lie. Okay, so 22, someone could read half of it and then someone else can finish it. A nice loud voice, slowly, please, for us. Wives, submit. Go forward from there.
Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless.
Thanks. Next, last person.
In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Yeah, good. Thank you. So, as a first thought, there are lots of really cool things happening, and we'll hopefully flesh this out more next week as well. Is what's applicable to one not applicable to the other always? So we see, we'll talk about what specific roles are, but we see here how Paul, speaking inspired by the Holy Spirit, is telling husbands in particular to do what for their wives?
To love them.
Love them. And wives are to do what for their husbands?
To submit.
Submit, okay, but what specifically does he then put me on the bones with?
Respect.
Yeah, respect, right? Okay, so husbands love, wives respect. Do wives also love? Mm-hmm. Yes. Do husbands also respect? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay? So just as an overarching idea here, that's why I wanted to get to this idea of underlying all of this. If you look at verse 21, we submit to one another, right? So we're selfless to one another always. Then in particular, there are roles then, and it has to look a certain way. Okay, there's still this selflessness, there's still this love core beneath all of it. And then Paul gives specific insight to husbands and wives. And I think there's a reason he does this, okay? Let me just erase a few things and we'll talk and I'll let you guys out and it'll be late. If you want to leave, it's okay. Does anything here have to do with equality at all? No, because we read last week, do you guys remember what passage we read last week? Back to Galatians? And it says what? There are neither what?
No slaves.
Right, no slaves, no free, no male, no female, no Jew, no Gentile, right? I mean, this whole package. Because in God, we're what? Equal, right? With regard to our relationship. Really important as the bedrock for this. Okay, so that being said, we're equal with regard to that. Then there's something specific. And Jack talks about this, and I don't remember what class you first talked about this in, Jack, but this idea of what leadership looks like, right? The marriage relationship is important to the world. Why? Us, as believers, our marriage relationship is important to the world. Why?
It gives the picture of Christ and the church.
Yeah. So it shows something important with regard to relationship, with regard to Christ and the church, right? So there needs to be a proper functioning here. All right, so let's dig into this. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, right? So wives are submitting to who? Husbands and to the Lord, right? As to the Lord, for his honor, for all the glory to go to him, right, the Lord. But this is what your relationship looks like then, right? For the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior, right? So how is husband head of wife? Tell me what that means. We came to class so you could tell us.
You asked that question 11:32?
Yes. It looks like 11:31 from my perspective, so I had time. So you just told me, right? She's to honor and respect. So I don't want to make this more complicated than it is either, right? I don't think it's supposed to be complicated necessarily, but wives support and honor their husbands through respect. It's a big part of what that looks like. So for a wife to submit to her husband, we'll talk about this more next week, but a big part of that is respect, right? And honor. Oh, there's so many things I want to talk about, but it is getting late. Go to your handout with me. Please go to page 3. I want you guys to remember, we talked about this before, Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5, the beginning, set the stage for us. We talked about this last week, so I'm not going to go over that again. Right? I put here submission is not unilateral, right? And we talked about this before. It's mutual and requires both individuals to seek the best for the other as they honor Christ. This is based on verse 21, right? There's a mutual submission going on with regard to the church. This is for all relationships at large, not just husband and wife. All right, so now husband and wife in particular, right, move forward. 22 to 24. One of the keys here is that Paul is teaching in the context of what mutual submission looks like. This selflessness that we all need to engage in, okay? That's the context for all of this. Secondarily, like we read last time, Paul's teaching the context of equal dignity and value, right? And we see, as individuals, what our value is when we go back to the beginning, right? So back to a Genesis, right? We see what our value is and what equality looks like there. We're not going to get into that now, but that's a big deal. Third, Paul is specifically teaching here to the marriage relationship. So he says your own. When he talks about wives, right, and husbands, it's your own. So this isn't men and women. This is husbands and wives, okay? Really, really important that we know that. So husbands have been designed for leadership in the homes, and wives have been designed to support their husband. I don't think that's a negative at all, right? So churches don't like to talk about this, and I have no problem talking about it, and hopefully we don't have a problem thinking about it. But God designed us in specific ways to function properly like this. And it's not a negative. It isn't an unequal kind of thing. Right? It's a how to best make this collective work. And we're designed in a certain way. And so husbands are designed to lead, and God commands that of us. Right? There's a specific way that leadership has to look, and we have to step up and lead. And we've talked about this, a lot of us, individually before, and I don't think we model this very well many times as husbands, actually. So what does it mean for a husband to lead? So we'll talk about wives submitting here, but I want to, as we start, talk about what it means for husband to lead then. Wives submit, so they support, they honor, they respect. Right? Is that selfless? If you know me, it is. Like our relationship, look at my wife and me. Like that's pretty selfless of Aaron, actually. Because I'm me. And I'm flawed. Right? And I need that of her, right? For me to function as the leader I'm meant to be in my family. So she gives me support. She gives me respect, right? Selflessly. And then my role is what? In leading, my role is what? Doing all that in love. So what does it look like for me to lead? So for wives, respect, honor, support. Husbands, leading looks like what? This is hard, maybe.
Likeness to Christ demands self-sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of self-sacrifice do we see from Christ? Besides on the cross, I get that, right? He gave his life for us. I get that totally, right? How else do we see him leading?
He gave up heaven to come and live on earth.
Yeah. A selflessness, right? He entered into space and time, relieved himself of certain attributes, right, in this context. What else?
It's a willingness to place the needs of the wife ahead of your own.
Yeah. There were practical things that happened, right? There were practical things that happened. What did he do while he was... This is good. I apologize. If you give me like a minute or two, we'll talk about this more next week. What did he do before he died? So we think about Christ and his sacrifice when he died. Yes, absolutely. The ultimate sacrifice. Before that, what did he do? Yeah, he served them, right? He washed their feet. What was his ministry for 3 years? It's the kingdom of God, right? So he came, he ushered in the kingdom of God. What does that actually look like? Because his sacrificial death allows us to proclaim the kingdom and to do kingdom things, right? And he died, and that affects our ability to do that. Effects, right? Allows us to do something. So what was that? What did he do?
He's constantly expending energy for the benefit of his people, his kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. So he's expending all kinds of energy to what end? Right, I mean, so I'm just trying to build this. So you're absolutely right. To what end? Expending energy, feeding into their lives, right? What's he doing? He's making them more like him and God, right? As God, he is God, right? He's making them like him. So they can effectively love God and love the world around them. So he's the beginning of sanctifying, actually. Really, right? Like, he shows us the model. He shows us how to live. He leads by serving, by doing things for us, by bringing us in right relationship to God and to the world around us. So how do husbands lead? They lead by bringing wives and children and those around them in their sphere of influence into right relationship with God, right? That's, I think, the biggest part of how we lead. So how do the leaders at this church hopefully lead? What's the point? I mean, why do you have elders and deacons and pastors and all the rest who lead here? To bring people first and foremost into a right relationship with God and then those around them. So Christ models this, right? He absolutely models what leadership should look like for the husband as well. So a part of this is then sanctifying us. We look more and more like him. And once we're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in us and we're empowered to do those kind of things as well. Cool? I don't think it's complicated. Is it hard to do? Yes. For me, it's really hard for me to do this. But it's not complicated, right? So this is our preemptive laying the groundwork. We'll reiterate this next week. And if you come up with ways to make, to explain what I like botched in like the last 1 hour better, awesome. I'd love to hear it. It's totally cool. Okay. Is this kind of cool? Yeah. I think this is really neat stuff. I think this is as practical as you can possibly get. It's really, really exciting. And I apologize for the botched job. Okay. So who would like to close? Anybody want to close in a word of prayer? I'll close. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. We come before you in full humility, Lord, understanding that we need you to guide and direct us, that we need you to speak from your word to us. I pray that you would forgive the sins that we commit and take us away from you, God. I pray that our study and your Holy Spirit would be working with us through these passages, Lord, that we would recognize what love looks like. We would recognize what selfless giving to others looks like. That we would recognize in each individual context, Lord, how we can submit mutually in that context. We love you. We pray these things in your Holy Son's name. Amen. I will not stick around. No, it's not true. I actually will stick around. You can come chat with me if you want.